It's indeed a pleasure to be able to be here. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to go with me to the book of Psalms. There's an expression that has been giving me some concern lately. I've been considering it for a good while. If the Lord would help me, I would like to try to speak on it. It seemed like the more that I tried to study it, the more that it grew. Sometimes it doesn't work like that, but more times than not it does. And when it grows, it causes me to be more fearful because I think, well, I'll leave some of it out. I won't be able to say it. But precious ones, the gospel is for the Lord's children. The gospel feeds the Lord's children. It encourages them. It gives them strength when they don't have any strength. And it helps them to go forward. Trust in the true and the living God. I call your attention to the 35th chapter of the book of Psalms. And I'll begin with the first verse. He said, I plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. I'd like to stop right there. And I'd like you to consider that last expression. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. If the Lord would help me for a little while, that's what I'd like to talk on. But I need God's help and I need your prayers. So pray for me if you would. When we examine man, we find that man is very fallible. We're all sinners. We're subject to sin. Sin is prevalent in our life. The scripture says when we would do good, evil is present with us. It says there is none good, no, not one. It says our righteousness is as filthy rags and goes on and on with the same kind of expressions. There's nothing that we can look at within ourselves and feel like that we should merit anything. All we can understand is that God is with us. And when he's with us, we have something that we didn't have before. And that's righteousness. And that righteousness he imputes to us. That righteousness causes us to present ourselves, as the scripture says in the 12th chapter of Romans. He said, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We can't present ourselves holy and acceptable or a reasonable sacrifice except we be of God, except God be in our hearts. So man within himself in the flesh is worthless. There is nothing there to achieve any merit, nothing there to achieve any desires. But when the Lord comes into the heart of a little child of God, the scriptures teach that he changes that heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And that doesn't mean the worldly flesh. That means that he tenderizes the heart. That's my word for it. I like that word because I feel like it explains it as simply as I know how. He tenderizes the heart. It's not a hard heart anymore. We're born with a hard heart. And when we're born with a hard heart, we go in the world and we don't have any desires except what that heart allows us to have. When the Lord comes into our hearts and changes us, then we do. Then we can present our bodies a living sacrifice. The only way that you can present your body a living sacrifice is to be made alive. And the only one that can make you alive is your God. He makes you alive. So consider these things as we look at this a little farther. Keep in mind the text that I read. In the Roman letter, in the third chapter of the book of Romans, I'd like to start there if I could. In the 23rd verse, Paul writes of the third chapter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? It means that we can't live up to that. We can't take credit for that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're born sinners. We're subject to sin. But God can change these things. He can give us this life that we need. And He does give us this life. Sometime in our life, He comes in and changes that heart. And when He changes that heart, then our desires are different. Our concerns are different. And we look to the living God and realize that by the grace of God, we can do this. And without the grace of God, we can't. It's just as simple to me as can be. And yet when I stand with people and converse with them and say the same thing, I get the blankest look sometime on their faces because there's no understanding there. And I realize there's no understanding. And I think, well, praise God that I can understand a little bit about those things. You know, the scriptures teach that we see through glass darkly while we're here. And that's true. I certainly believe that. I believe there'll be so much that we'll know later. It's like the songwriter said, farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. I don't understand why a lot of times. And I struggle with things and I think, I've got to have the Lord's help or I'll never understand this. And that's the way it is. But I've spent a great deal of my time in my adult life being on the highway by myself. And as I'm on the highway by myself, something will enter my mind and it will clear something up that I may have fought for a long time just trying to figure out what it means. How can I discern this thing? How can I understand? How can I use this in my life? And the Lord reveals it to me. And then it seems quite simple. And I think, why didn't I understand that? Why couldn't I have figured that out? But I know that we're very finite. The scriptures never taught that man was not finite, because we are. But we have a God that's infinite. And with that, I put all my trust in, I hope. It's my desire to put all trust in God. It's not my desire to try to figure out these things in myself, because I'm not gonna succeed. But if the Lord can help me, then I can say, well, okay, here it is. This is the difference. But He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't have anything that we can rest on. Now, go with me to the Galatian letter for a minute. Brother Dennis and I came down here this morning from Duncan, and we were talking about, or early this morning, we were talking about the Galatian letter. You know, the Galatian letter was written to a church that was in the wrong. They had turned from the gospel. They had turned to other things. Paul addresses them in the third chapter. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? They turned from the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Foolish Galatians. Well, we can find ourselves in that position every once in a while. We can certainly see how there's a lot of foolishness in our life. We're still fleshly as well as spiritual. We have a warfare within our life that's a constant warfare. That warfare causes us to turn one way or turn the other. And certainly we know that when we can follow the Lord and look to Him and trust in Him, we're going to find the strength that we need, and we're not going to find it in the world. Because when we find things in the world that seems like they're strong, they end up to be very temporary. They end up to be not any good to us, worthless to us. But when the Lord reveals things to us, we can say, well, certainly, that's the way it is. Why didn't I know that? Why didn't we know that? Because we didn't have that revealed to us. I can't tell you when the Lord's going to reveal something to you. I can't tell you when He's going to reveal something to me. But when He does reveal it to me, He gives me an understanding that helps me to understand, here's something precious. Here's a gem. Here's something we can hold on to. Here's something that we can trust in, because He's given us something that we didn't already have. And when He gives this to us, then we can go with that. And thanks be to God, we can. Third chapter of Galatians, 10th verse. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You understand what he's saying? You can't keep the whole law. There's some part of the law that you're going to offend. Now, over in the book of James, it tells you about that. The second chapter and the 10th verse of this chapter. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. We know this. We know that the law was set up as a means of worship. The law was set up with instruction to God's people in the Old Testament. And this law, they say, the scripture says, is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. But we know that there's no justification in the law, that we can't be justified. We can't draw that justification. We can't conjure up that justification within ourselves. Therefore, we can't have it like that. The law is not going to justify us. Instead, it's going to condemn us, because if we can't keep all points of the law, we offend it all. If we offend it all, then we're lost. We have nothing to hope for. But what it says is, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of it all. One point. Now, I've never known anyone. I've had people tell me, though, from time to time, I keep the law all the time. That's a fearful thing to say. I couldn't make that statement. What about our thoughts? What about our evil intents? What about the times when the right thoughts are not in our mind and we're dwelling on things that are not right? Have we not offended part of the law? Have we not turned away from those things which we need to follow? Therefore, we have nothing to rest on, nothing to depend in. Instead, the law is incriminating to us. The law is pointing the wrong way. We don't find the help that we need in that. Over in the book of Ezekiel, in the 18th chapter of Ezekiel, in the 4th verse, he said, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." You remember the scripture that we used? There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What does that mean? It means that that's trouble. There's trouble there. There's ways that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We don't have the ability to understand these things any other way except what God gives us. And God gives it all to us. When we can look and see that this blessed God loved a people before the beginning of time, that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die for them, that he did that, he paid that price. The last enemy he had to overcome was the enemy of death. He went to the tomb. He was 3 days in the tomb, and he came forth out of that tomb. He overcame, the scripture says, death, hell, and the grave. We have someone that could do these things that we couldn't do. So we have something to rejoice in. Paul makes a statement. He said, "Rejoice," and again I say, rejoice. We've got something to rejoice in. We've got something to be thankful for. We can understand that our God is working in our life. He's helping us to understand these things so that we can look to him and give him honor and praise. And the scriptures teach us he's the one that we give honor and praise to. But we need to be mindful, and we need to be observant of these things, because too often we give someone the honor and praise that doesn't deserve it. God is the only one that deserves it. He's the one that we give honor and praise to. We didn't come out here on Saturday morning in order to praise the world. We didn't come out here on Saturday morning in order to draw strength from something of the world. We came out here because we wanted to hear the gospel preached. And the gospel, which is called the good news, is certainly exactly that. That's the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's teaching us what we need to know in order to go forward in this life, in order to draw closer to our God, to understand these things, and to be with him. So the first thing that we look at is this salvation. Is it necessary? Is it important? Is it something that is good for the children of God? Absolutely it is. Because we don't have to go very far in this life to realize that we don't have what we want in this world. And yet, things seem so popular, so glamorous from time to time, only to help us find that these things are temporary. They're not going to last. Precious ones, what we have in the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it will last. This gospel is the good news. They've got the ear to hear that. And if they've got to hear have the ear to hear that, and they do hear that, then that's a blessing to them. Over in the Revelation letter, in the third chapter, you've got the letters to the seven churches of Asia. And they're constantly saying, those who have an ear to hear, let them hear. Let them hear. Does that mean they do hear? Not necessarily. They've got the ear to hear, but they've got to apply that, don't they?
Yes, they do.
What about the fruits of the Spirit that wrote there in the Galatian letter? 5th chapter, 22nd verse. These fruits of the Spirit are things that God has given us. Does that mean that we use them? Does that mean that we're going to apply those every day in our life? Does that mean that we're never going to think about anything else except those things? No, it doesn't. Why? Because the world's got things to offer too, and Satan is not going to miss a chance. He's not going to miss these things. He's going to constantly hammer us with those things. He's constantly going to give us things that would deter us from the truths of God. And you have to be very careful about that, because he's very subtle. He's very mean. Mean's about the best word I can think of. He's not going to do that. He's going to do everything he can to deter us from the love of God, to deter us from understanding that our God is our strength. You know, constantly it tells you in the scriptures to trust in God. And I don't know whether I've made that statement in the stand, but I've thought to myself a number of times, I'll always trust him. Well, Peter thought the same thing, didn't he? He told Jesus he would follow him, even unto death. Did he follow him unto death, precious ones? No, he didn't. He didn't follow him unto death. He told him, Jesus told him, said, you'll deny me 3 times before the cock crows. Now, Peter thought, that's impossible. Surely that's not possible. But the 3rd time he denied Jesus and the cock crowed, you know that man had to be a shameful man. He had to be a sorrowful man. He understood that Jesus knew far more about him than he knew of himself. And I understand that and begin to understand it more every day. It seemed like there's never a day goes by that I don't learn a little something about that. There's never a day goes by when I understand that my strength is not in the things of the world, it's in the Lord. And if I don't have that, then I don't have what I need. I had a man tell me the other day, he says, I can serve God just as well on a creek bank as I can in a church. And you know, there's nobody that likes to fish much more than I do. I've always enjoyed that. But you know, there's a lot of times out there on that water that I don't think about the Lord. Sometimes I do, but there's so much time that I don't. There's so many things that we need to consider in this, but we realize that only through the help of God can we draw these things. We need a strength, and that strength can only come from our Lord. And when we have that strength, then we can apply it. When we have those fruits of the Spirit and we use them, then they're beneficial to us. Now, I'm guilty a lot of times of not using the things that I have available. And I realize that I need to have that strength. I need to draw closer to God. I need to receive those things that will help me in my life. And too many times I find the wrong things. Too many times I get concerned about things of life, getting involved with life, and don't concentrate on those things. But when I do, I feel like sometimes I have to start singing, and sometimes I do. I used to, but I'm not on the road anymore by myself. So I don't do so much of that because it's not quite as impressive perhaps as it was once, or I thought it was. Over in the book of First Samuel. I want a scripture there if I can find it. It seems like they put those in the wrong place. But they don't. It's me. In the book of 1 Samuel, the second chapter, the 8th verse, says he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. What's he talking about here? Let's use an example here. What if you looked out wherever you live and you found the most despicable person that you could ever find? He just was a trouble from the word go. His name spelled out trouble, so to speak. And all of these things caused him to go awry in everything he did. And he was caught and he was convicted of these things. And he received the sentence for doing these things. And then there was a lawyer that came along and agreed to serve him, assist him, to represent him. And this lawyer somehow worked these things around where this man was acquitted. He got off of all of this. He didn't have to pay any penalty for this. Well, first of all, if the man walked out of the courtroom where everyone in there knew that certainly this was wrong and this man was worthy of the charges that were charged against him and should have to pay, then they probably wouldn't have a lot to do with him. But when you look at the Lord working with his children, we don't have anything that we can credit ourselves with. We can't say, well, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. And Jesus knew we would. The Lord knew we would. Ephesians 2 and 8 verse says, for grace are you saved through faith and not yourself. It is a gift of God. And then it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if man's going to boast, and they'll boast, have you ever accomplished anything in your life that you didn't want credit for? I've used that a lot of times because I think about that often. You want credit for it. If you accomplish something, you want people to say, well, look what he's done. Look what he's accomplished. So he knows you're going to boast. So precious ones, the scriptures, the gospel is laid out to help you understand that only through the grace of God are you able to do what you've done. Only through his mercy are you able to go forth from day to day and follow the Lord and serve him. Only through these wonderful mercies and the grace of God are you able to do this. Are you able to accomplish anything? Well, certainly that's the way this man must have felt when he was acquitted. Because here he walked out of that courtroom, but there was more to it. There's more to it for a child of God. Because he's not only acquitted, he has this as if there was no charge brought for him in the first place. He had nothing that he had to be ashamed of. These sins were removed. The scripture says Christ became sin for those who knew no sin. He bore every sin of every one of his children upon his shoulders. Why wouldn't he be a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, as it says over in the book of Isaiah? Certainly he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, but I heard a man say one day, said, aren't you glad that he didn't say that he was a sorrowful man? He wasn't a sorrowful man. He bore the sins of every one of his people upon his shoulders. He knew every sin. He knew everything that was wrong. He knew all of those things, and he bore that. He paid the price for every one. Just like the songwriter said, Jesus paid it all. All for sin I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You know, this is not the inspired word of God in those songs. But I'll tell you, there was a lot of experiences that went into those songs. I've read books from time to time that tells the story of those songs and what caused a writer to write those songs. They were experiences that he went through, that God had helped him, that God worked with him, that God taught him. And those experiences caused him to pen those words, and he was able to say those things. And I have no doubt that he realized that they were the truth. You know, when Jesus was talking to his apostles, disciples, He made the statement, he said, I go, and you know the way that I go. Thomas said, and this is putting it in my own words, I probably won't quote it right. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? How can we know the way? These aren't unfamiliar scriptures, are they? They're scriptures that we use all the time. Scriptures that we think about. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Precious ones, he's not only the truth, he is the epitome of the truth. There is nothing awry there. There is nothing wrong there. He is the only one that could have paid this price. And the songwriter knew that when he said Jesus paid it all. He knew that that had to be done by someone that wasn't a sinner. But he became sin who knew no sin. And he bore that upon the cross, precious ones. And he went to the tomb. And he came forth out of that tomb. He had overcome that last enemy. He had overcome those things that would separate him from his children. He had overcome those things that had fed them and kept them going. And they were brought back into a oneness with him. Every one of them will live in immortal glory with him. That's why I love that scripture in John 6:37, where he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, that I should lose nothing, but raise him up again at the last day. What kind of a comfort does that give you to hear words like that? There wasn't anything that would leave any type of doubt there. It's all very self-explanatory. To me, it is. Sometimes when I quote that to others, I get that blank look again. And I don't like that blank look because I understand that there's not a revelation there. They don't understand about that. They don't understand the power of God. They don't understand that he's able to do these things, but he does them. And he does them for every one of his children. You know, I've never talked to anyone that I felt themselves worthy. But I've talked to quite a few that tell me they do. I really don't think they do. I don't know how that the Lord could come into a heart and change that heart and then them be able to say, well, I'm worthy of that. I earned that. Can you say that? I can't say that at all, and I never have been able to. But thanks be to God, we have those things. Let's go back to the book of Romans. Somebody told me one time that, and I've heard others say it, if you didn't have the book of Romans, you wouldn't have anything. Well, it's okay, we do have. So why not use it? In the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, let's start with the 19th verse. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Do you like to hear that? Yes. I like to hear that. Why? Because I need that grace. I can't do that within myself. I'm not worthy to do that. I don't have the ability to do that, but my Lord does. He has everything. He's our all in all. It's hard to understand that we are completely dependent upon him. We're dependent upon him. I hear independence talked about too much. I hear independence brought out when someone tells me that I've got to help the Lord. Jesus has done all that he can do. I've got to finish the work. Precious ones, if we had to finish that work, we have nothing to look forward to except a devil's hell. Because there's not any one of us that could overcome that. There's not any one of us that could look and say, I can do this. I can accomplish this. It's not there. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Where sin is, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign unto righteousness, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He doesn't leave that out on any statement that he makes. Why? Because he wants you to understand these things are done by the grace of Jesus Christ. He's the one that's overcome. He's the one that we need to concentrate on. He's the one that we need to give honor and praise to. And he's the one that will come back and take his children home. So many things come to my mind on that. Every time I say something like that, because I think about it. Let's go to the 7th chapter of Romans. Let's start with the 14th verse. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. To put that in my own words, I have good intentions. I'm not going to go any further with it. Because my intentions don't get what I want to accomplish sometimes. I don't find that I can accomplish that. I need more than just intentions. And precious ones, we've got it. But we have it through the power of God. We don't have it through ourselves. We can't conjure it up. We can't make a decision and have it. We can't make a choice and have it. To me, there's a lot of words that's used in the religious world that's very confusing to me. And yet they're used so much that I'm used to hearing them. And when I hear them, I get a little bit more upset each time. My wife says I never should listen to the radio, because whenever I find somebody that's supposedly preaching on the radio, if I've got very far to go, by the time I get home, I'm so mad I can't hardly control myself. And she says, why don't you just turn the radio off? Well, I want to hear out that he might say something good. But he doesn't sometimes, and other times he does. You can get fed a number of ways. I may not agree with all that they say, but I agree with some of the things they say, and I can put it together with what I understand in it, and then it makes sense. Then I can say, well, this is all right, because I'm going to inject what I want to inject here. Why? Because I'm going to use the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to inject it. Precious ones, that salvation that the Lord accomplished for us, that salvation that will house his children in immortal glory, is such a wonderful thing that we can rejoice again and again and be thankful for that. And I'm thankful for those things. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah. I won't be lengthy here. Don't intend to. In the book of Isaiah, in the 12th chapter, the 2nd verse, he said, behold, God is my salvation, I will trust, and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. He has become my salvation. How's he become your salvation? We were separated, weren't we? We were separated from God. There was no way that we could come back and be in oneness with our God. We were sinners, so we couldn't apply ourselves in that in order to bring us back. We couldn't accomplish that. There wasn't any way we could accomplish it. But we have one that could, and we have one that did. And that's what he's doing. And not only is he doing that, but he's sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for us. What does that mean to you? It means that whenever you have these trials and you have these tribulations, you have these things come upon you that you can't bear, that you don't know what you're going to do from one moment to the next, he's there helping you. He's there holding you up. He's there giving you strength where you have no strength. He's there telling you that I am here. I'm here always. Jesus said, I'll be with you in the 6th trouble, and in the 7th trouble, I'll not forsake you. That's what he meant. He didn't mean that he would be out off somewhere for a while, so you'll have to fend for yourself. Thank goodness for that. Because as sure as he did, Satan's going to step in and he's going to mess that up. He can mess it up too. You remember what Elder, what was his name? Bass, Jimmy Bass, used to say that he looked on his shoulder and Satan was sitting on his shoulder, and after a good while he looked on his shoulder and Satan was still there. He's not going to go anywhere. He's going to use every method that he has in order to turn you away from God. But precious ones, the power of God is stronger than any of this. The power of God is there for you. He'll help you in the sixth trouble. In the seventh, He'll not forsake you. I'm getting so far off of what I thought I would do here, but I ask for your prayers just for a minute or two longer. Over in the book of 2 Timothy, Brother McDonald used a number of these expressions a while ago, and I appreciate that, but I got to use one too. In 2 Timothy in the first chapter, and this is so unfamiliar, you probably never heard this. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but according to his own purpose and grace, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I didn't say that the gospel was that salvation. What I'm saying was that gospel brings that salvation to light. It gives light on it. It helps you to understand you have these things, precious ones, and God gave it to you. You didn't get it anywhere else. You didn't draw this strength from God. You drew it from the Lord. You didn't draw it from man. You drew it from the Lord. He's the one that takes care of you. He's the one that watches over you. And he's the one that'll finally house you in immortal glory. So let's go to Titus 2 and 12. I'll start with 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, first of all, I want you to understand what it means by all. Because we're recognizing the children of God. We're recognizing those that God loved. Ephesians 2, 1 said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. You were born into this world in trespasses and in sin, but you are alive now through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you have an ear to hear so you can hear what the gospel says, so you can follow these things and learn to live closer to Christ. Do those things that are honoring to him. Give him honor and praise. And that's what it teaches you to do. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In the book of 2 Corinthians, maybe, in the 4th chapter, the 6th verse, now, Paul writes these words. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember that light. What did that light do? That light gave you light to understand your God. To understand the gospel. To see that gospel in a true understanding. And to be able to draw closer to your God. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's beautiful to me. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one that we need to keep our eyes on. Jesus Christ is the one that we need to trust in. He's the Christ that we need to look to him, knowing full well that he will take his children home. There'll be none left out. And yet we know that man has nothing to do with it. In John 6:44, there is a John 6:44. No man can come unto me except the Father, which is, no. Is that what I want? No man can come unto me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day. No man can come unto me. I have people tell me so often, you need to do this. You need to follow God. You need to believe in God. And I don't want to get on that because you'd have to sit here for a while longer. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Precious ones, if the Father didn't have that of himself, it would say he didn't. It would say that there's other ways. You can assist Christ. You can help him in these manners. You cannot help him. These things are done entirely through our God. He's the one that is taking care of you. He's the one that helps you. And he's the one that will house his children in immortal glory. when he calls, those children will come forth. I had a funeral the other day, and the young lady was cremated. And I heard a man make an expression. He says, "I sure do hope the Lord knows where she is." Now, let me tell you, that's about as far off as you can be. What did he make us out of? We were formed out of the dust of the earth. Wouldn't he know where that was if it went back to dust? Of course he would. What happens to a person that has a limb missing? Would he not know where that limb was whenever he brought that body forth? Whenever he reunited that body with that soul and that spirit? Yes, he would. He definitely would know those things. Those things that he could trust in. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness is shining our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Precious ones, when we look upon the face of Jesus Christ, we realize that we have something so precious. We realize that we have something that we have strength in. I've needed as much encouragement as anyone that I've ever known. I need to be encouraged continually. I had a man tell me the other day that I can go one time a month to church and that's sufficient. I've got everything I need. I'm not that person. I don't need that. I need to have it every moment. I need to hear every bit of that gospel that I can hear. And I'm fed by that gospel because I can take that and I can use that in my life. Whenever I go out in the world, I have these thoughts on my mind that cause me to think about those things, that cause me to hold those things. And I can look to my Lord and give Him honor and praise for it. No, one time a month's not right. But I had it in my mind one time that that's what I do. Just let me get away from home. Brother Allen, I had it figured out one time that we averaged 3 services a weekend when I was growing up. And I thought, of all things, I'll do that the way I want to do it when I get away from home. And I did for a little while. And then I got to looking at our children when they were little. And I got to thinking about how important that had to be for them. That they needed to know about God. They needed to know about the power of God. They need to learn from those things. They need to have that desire in their heart that when they needed help, they could draw that help from our God. I thought about that so many times. All of a sudden, I changed my attitude. I changed my mind. It changed all these things. So I have to have those things. To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. I thank you for your kind attention. I trust that the Lord will bless each one who would be here and who would fill the stand. May God bless you.